when there's no more room in hell, the dead will walk here.
Welcome to Super Podcast, episode 43. I'm your awesome host, Super Marcy. And I forgot what I was saying. Here with me in the podcasting studios is my co-host, Bede. Hello, Bede.
Hi, Marcy. How are you?
I am very sore. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. Just going pretty well at the moment. Nothing to complain about.
Cool. So, as every episode, why are you a terrible Australian for this one?
Okay. I'm a terrible Australian because I have seen Failure to Launch starring Matthew McConaughey and Sarah Jessica Parker.
Why do you torture yourself, Beat?
I know. I'm a terrible person.
You really are. Okay, on to our guests. We have two other guests. One, I think he's been on the podcast once before, and he was on the same podcast as you, Bede, but you guys didn't actually meet because I recorded your segments at different times.
Oh,
which,
okay.
Which would have been the Avatar podcast.
Avatar.
And so I'm welcoming back John, a.k.a. Fizz Boy, which is Physics Boy, because he likes physics. So,
yes,
welcome back, true. John. How are you?
No, he hates physics.
Good. Glad to be here.
Cool. I'm glad to hear it. God, I suck at these introductions anyway. And for some reason, we're welcoming back Mr. Sleepyhead himself, Nick Bosworth.
The snoring Canadian.
No longer Canadian bacon, he's a snoring Canadian. This is how
That's
he communicates.
Me. Hey, Marcy.
Hi, hey. Nick.
Hi, Nick.
Hey, I finally woke up.
Sleeping Beauty woke up. Amazing.
I did, and I must state very quickly, just before, I know that it was very talked about. I just want you to know that goddamn was I tired that night, and I apologize for falling asleep, but goddamn it, you all laughed at me, so it was worth it.
So, don't worry, Nick, it was like our most popular episode ever.
I sound, and you know what? It opened my eyes to how loud I actually can snore.
You were a pretty loud boy.
That was pretty ridiculous, but my God, was that a rough weekend. When we did that.
Well, you're all better now, I assume.
I am. I have been forgiven. I have, you know, I've had my, you know, slapped to the face by Marcy and laughed at by Bede. And, you know, humiliation and beating is over, so now we move on.
Yes. And moving right along, we shall do. Seeing as we're in October, which is kind of like the horror month because Halloween is this month. And I might add, it is 2 days before my birthday. Just throwing it out there so nobody forgets. I thought we would have some horror-themed podcast to celebrate. So we're going to have the zombie edition of the podcast. So we're going to discuss all things zombie-related. And Nick is a zombie.
Well, they're sly.
The Sylvester Stallone zombie.
Get to the job.
That was Arnold zombie.
Arnie doesn't work as well.
No. I don't know where exactly we'll start with zombies because there's so many zombie movies and there'd be quite a long list of us to name them all, and I doubt that we've seen them all. So we'll just kind of do the usual go around from person to person, and we'll mention a zombie movie that we like to start off with. So I'm going to start off because I'm kind of the boss. Well, Beat is also the boss, but he didn't choose to introduce the show, so I'll be in charge for now.
Nobody doesn't believe that. Dobby says Beat is the boss.
No.
Yes.
We do not agree with Dobby. I'm going to start off, and I'm going to mention a movie that I mention a lot on the podcast because it's my favorite horror movie ever, and that is Reanimator. So, yay, Reanimator.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even think of that.
Yes, well, it's not a traditional zombie movie when you think of zombie movies, but it is a zombie movie. Reanimator, I guess you could say it's almost a science fiction horror movie because there's science stuff in there. You've got, oh my God, I've gone blank. Dr. Herbert West, he's invented a reanimating fluid, and it reanimates the dead, and he brings dead bodies back to life with hilarious results. Nobody's indeed saying anything.
It is a great movie, but we're letting you enjoy the moment.
Yes, I'm doing like the worst job ever of explaining this movie, but I've explained it so many times. But
just say it's awesome.
It's awesome. Oh, apparently it has a 92% rating on Rotten Tomatoes. Awesome.
It's that awesome.
It is that awesome. It was based on a short story by H.P. Lovecraft, which is a pretty cool story in itself. I've got a H.P. Lovecraft omnibus book, and it's included in there. But what makes this movie awesome is how it mixes horror and comedy very well, and how crazy Herbert West is. He's one of my all-time favorite movie characters because he's awesome. And just basically, this is one of like the most retarded, and I do mean retarded, like university hospitals ever. They kind of can easily get into the morgue and bring dead bodies back to life, which is...
Hey, it's a movie. That's what happens.
Yeah, but we kind of find out that not only can you bring back an entire dead person, you can bring back body parts to life. As we see, when he kills his rival, Dr. Hill, and he cuts his head off with a shovel, and he reanimates his body as well as his head, and then the head carries around the body, which is really funny. And I remember when I first got this movie on DVD, it was like a massive celebration for me because I was so excited. I showed it to one of my friends and he said this was one of the most realistic movies he's seen because he honestly thought that it was possible that someone could reinvent the reanimator, whatever it is, and they could start reanimating people. So there you go. That's Reanimator as described by Marcy.
That was a good description.
If you haven't seen it, see it, because it's awesome, and it's one of the best zombie movies ever.
Great.
Mainly for Rufus the Cat and Dr. Hill and his head.
Yes, those names don't convince, nothing will.
Yeah, and yes. Dr. Hill like is actually a very horny dead person.
I was just about to say, there's like a scene in the movie that is completely gross that gives head a whole new meaning.
Really, it does. I'll hand it over to Bede and then he can take the reins of the podcast. So over to you, Bede.
Alrighty. one of my favorite zombie movies is one half of an already epic sort of horror movie, and that movie is Planet Terror from Grindhouse.
Hell yeah.
Which is, as you all know, it's written and directed by the completely awesome Robert Rodriguez and has a really impressive cast that has Freddie Rodriguez, Josh Brolin, Michael Biehn, who should be in more movies.
he's going to be is, if he doesn't cancel, he's going to be in Melbourne next weekend. And if he doesn't cancel, I plan on meeting him. So I'm really hoping that happens. Seeing as Herbert West himself had to cancel this appearance next week, I'm devastated. But anyway, continue.
And what the hell happened to Freddie Rodriguez? He was supposed to be like, Freddie Rodriguez.
Yeah, he was like a complete badass in that movie. And yeah,
he made for a very good short person.
Yeah. Like, he was like the shortest action star since Jet Li.
Pretty much.
I remember watching Poseidon after I had seen Planet Terror, and I'm like, wow, he's come far.
Well, he was in 6 Feet Under.
Oh, he was on that before Planet Terror.
Yeah, which that's where I'll always remember him for.
I'll always remember him from Scrubs. I don't know if you guys ever watched that show, did you?
Nope.
Oh, I have. Which character was he?
He played Carla's brother, who was like the best man at their wedding. He was like an asshole. He hated Turk. I don't know if you remember.
I don't remember that episode.
That was a long time ago. So many of them. Anyway, back to it.
Anyway, back to the movie.
Tangent. Well,
what was really cool about the film is that it's pretty much Rodriguez trying to make the ultimate homage to John Carpenter. I mean, this is the kind of film John Carpenter would have made back in the 80s. Like, everything about it just screams his work. I mean, from the cinematography to the score. Oh yeah, I loved the synth score by which Robert Rodriguez did himself, and of course it has some really cool zombies that they're not your traditional zombies. Like, these guys can talk and all that kind of stuff, but when it comes down to it, they do what all zombies do, as in eating brains and other entrails and body parts, which is pretty cool. And it's just completely fun. I've seen Planet Terror multiple times now, because I own both films separately, on the other being Death Proof on DVD, and it's pretty awesome because I watch Planet Terror all the time, and it's just an epically fun movie, and I'll never get tired
of it. If you need a reason to see Planet Terror, chick with a shotgun for a leg.
Yes, exactly.
Played by the very last... Never been so... Sorry.
I agree. How she's able to, like, shoot the gun with her leg, I'm not sure. But, you know, it's a grindhouse movie. I mean, plot holes. Like, it doesn't matter in this movie.
If you've ever seen exploitation movies, you would understand that it makes perfect sense.
Oh, I agree. Like, I've seen enough. I agree because I've seen my fair share as well, and it doesn't bother me at all. But, of course, some people have had to question that. But, you know, it's it's a movie that homages exploitation movies, and that's, you know, that's all you need to know. And it's a lot of fun. Like I said, it's just fun. I mean, you can never get sick of it. And everyone
that's all
does it. Is. Yeah. And also, all the actors do a great job. I mean, it's funny as well. And yeah, there's nothing really much to say about Planet Terror is that it's awesome.
It's just pure fun. That's all it is for an hour and a half.
Exactly.
So how was, I think, wasn't Quentin Tarantino involved, or what, did he just do the grindhouse?
Not really.
One? I mean, not the grindhouse one. The Death Proof.
He wrote and directed Death Proof, but he does appear in Planet Terror.
He plays Rapist One or something.
And that's like the closest scene in the entire movie.
Because he rips apart Fergie again, and she bitched. Well, apparently it wasn't even an issue, but like apparently Quentin bit Fergie. Like, during the scene where they're supposed to be showing them chomping on her on the road and all that shit, but I can't say I blame him.
Well, I was going to say that his junk melts, but...
Yeah, there's also a character that collects testicles for some reason.
Yeah,
Naveen.
That was Saeed from Lost.
Saeed from Lost collects balls.
I also want your balls. I was like, and also, this is awesome.
And also, Bruce Willis shows up in a small role as well, so that's pretty cool too.
Yeah.
He was actually pretty badass. That was actually a great little role for him.
Oh, yeah. So I definitely say Planet Terror, awesome movie. Definitely check it out if you haven't seen it.
Cool. So who's next? Who do I pick on next? I'll pick on John because he doesn't fall asleep. And I like Nick does.
I see now, Marcy. I'm being punished.
No, you can go next after John. There you go. You still get a turn. So, yes, hit us with a zombie movie.
Oh, boy, that's tough. There's a lot of good ones that I like. I'm going to have to go with two of them because I think they're both really good and they're both kind of have like some sense of feasibility and plausibility of occurring. And I would say Quarantine. And when I'm talking about the plausibility is the one that they did in America. The storyline for how they become zombies makes sense because you're dealing with an organism that already exists in other animals and causes them to act in zombie-like fashion. And for it to be experimented with so that it makes the jump into the human body and causes similar activity with humans is, you know, exceedingly plausible, especially when you look at other viruses that have been able to make that jump, like AIDS, for example, which is it's pretty much a native organism in primates and lower primates like monkeys, but not so much in humans. And then somehow it's made the leap, and here we are with this, you know, huge pandemic of this phenomena. Totally different effect, but the construction of how it happens is very plausible with the way they did it in the movie Quarantine. So I like that. And as far as the cinematography and stuff like that, it was, you know, I don't know. What did you guys think about the cinematography for that one?
It was
it was shaky. And first off, I would also like to say, John, you are officially the most mature, well-spoken person on this podcast. And you have raised the bar for all of us. And because my first question to you was going to be, are there boobs in the movie? I just wanted to let you know that was a wonderful little moment for all of us. We're very quiet listening. But I agree. No, hey.
I was intrigued. You're actually scaring me to the point of.
No, you're actually, you're raising the bar of, you know, maturity and, you know, thought and thought process and everything like that on this podcast. So anyway, I thought the movie was very well done, but I'll always be on, like, loyal to Wreck.
The original.
It's the first.
Now, I haven't seen that yet, so I definitely need to catch that so I can have that backstory going.
It's not easy to see.
Yeah. Well, I enjoyed Quarantine overall. I think it's a really solid remake. Like I said, like Nick, I have my allegiance to Wreck and Wreck 2, and those are fantastic horror films. But I think overall, I think Quarantine is a really solid remake. Because to me, it actually was able to capture the intensity of the original film quite effectively. Although I think the ending, like, even though it's the same in the original, is it in the remake? It's not quite as well done in the remake as it was in the original. But it's that's only how it was handled. But other than that, I think it's a really solid remake. The acting was pretty good. Jennifer Carpenter screams a lot, and
Dexter's sister. Sorry.
Yep, yeah. And she does it quite well, and she's a very effective screamer. But she was really good in the film, and it was really cool seeing like just a bunch of actors, like I've seen in other films before. Just in this one, of course, you got Jonathan Sheck, Jay Hernandez, Steve Harris, and a bunch of others. Well, I can't name off the top of my head right now, but they were all really good, and yeah, I think it's, like I said, it's, Wreck to me is a kind of film that should be not remade because it's bad, but it's one that doesn't bother me if someone decided to go out for remake it, because, like, it's the kind of film that should be remade every couple of years, and because the story and the plot and the subject matter make it really interesting, and also it's a roller coaster ride. I mean, Yep.
Yeah, they kept you guessing in the quarantine movie. I liked how I couldn't really figure out what was causing the problem until pretty much the end when they showed the guy at the top of the building.
That's pretty much exactly how it went with Wreck as well, because you keep hearing about there are things going on upstairs in the top level, and what's going on the top level, and you're thinking to yourself, what the fuck is going on that top level? Are you ever going to get there? And then when you get there, it's like, whoa, this shit is much, much deeper than you initially believe. But I see what you mean by that. It's that mystery that you love.
I have to admit, when I saw Wreck the first time, I was like, you know, this is really intense. But when we got to that final scene and spoilers, that thing sort of comes out of the shadows, I was like, what the fuck is that?
Bede, I'm going to be honest with you. I had a very hard time sleeping that night after that movie.
I did too. And really? My friend,
not kidding you.
Yeah.
See, now I have to Netflix this and see it.
See,
I sent my copy of Wreck to my friend, and he watched it too. He had the same reaction. It was like, oh, dude, the movie that was really intense, and then towards the end, I was like, what the fuck is that?
I was so tired that night when I watched it as well, so when I went to bed, I'm thinking to myself, I can't, you know, she's in the dark, and you can't see her, so I'm thinking, oh my god, you know, I'm not actually thinking she's in the dark, but it spooked me so much that I'm like, I'm shaking, I'm nervous, and I'm okay, just happy thoughts.
Like I said, both Wreck and Wreck 2, and as well as Quarantine, they are very effective, intense films because they really do get under your skin with the intensity that is happening on screen.
Well, what about the Blair Witch Project?
I liked how they continued, like as the movie went on, you would continue to have your hope for a pleasant scenario for any of those people to be stripped away. It was like, as much as you wanted some of those characters to be able to get out or see some kind of you know, a happy ending of some sort, it did. They just kept stripping away. And it was like at the very end, you realize there's just no, everybody in that building is not going to be happy.
Pretty much fucked.
Well, how would you feel if you were outside, if you were the one, you know, commanding the scene and, you know, the quarantine and everything? If I were the person outside controlling the situation, I'd say, you go in that building, you're not coming in. Simple as that.
Yeah, and that's where the scariness of it is, because when you look at the reality of the situation, and again, you know, we're getting back to, you know, the plausibility of it, you know, in that scenario, like what you're talking about, if you look at it realistically, it's unfortunate that is probably the most likely scenario that would be occurring in a real life situation. Yeah. Those people have to not let out.
We're going to clear the rest of the block and we're going to burn the building down. Sorry.
If you've seen the movie Outbreak, it's like that in a way that, mm-hmm. you know, there's nothing they can do. They've got to contain the situation, and that's like what Quarantine or Wreck is doing.
Right.
Whereas, you know, Outbreak wasn't about a zombie virus, but it was still about a really deadly virus. But it's the same kind of scenario.
Sure. It's doing evil to save millions, because you got to look at the grand scheme.
You have to look at
of
the bigger picture.
Yeah.
I agree.
You know, and
I agree.
That's why I love Outbreak. You know, one of my favorite lines is, when the president learned that within 48 hours this virus could be on the White House lawn, he gave the order. And I was like, boom, that's exactly how it would be. Politics or none. But, you know, a great flick, though. It was definitely a bit of an eye-opener in terms of roller coaster horror type, always on the move type movie. But, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And what was the other movie you mentioned? No, we're all talking at once. Go ahead.
The other movie was going to be 28 Days Later. Was that the first one?
That was the first one. Yay. Yep. I love that movie.
Raging Monkeys.
Later. Yeah.
I guess it's kind of sticking with the theme of an animal infection kind of.
Well,
thing.
In this case, it's more human, because we're actually creating a virus that we're in this case, in this situation, it's a totally man-made thing. They were actually trying to create you know, some kind of super virus to make the make soldiers, you know, really aggressive, which, you know, leads into, it's kind of a lead off from Jacob's Ladder. If you guys remember that, the conspiracy yep. theory storyline in Jacob's Ladder, where, you know, the group in Vietnam was given some hybrid LSD type drugs to make them more aggressive. And it wound up being a horrible situation because the entire platoon killed each other. So, yeah. So, you know, and so it's like that similar type of situation. They're trying to create this you know, this rage, if you will. I mean, that's what it was.
I think that's what they call it, was rage.
Inducing, yeah, this rage-inducing microorganism that would, you know, abandon your basically turn you into a sociopath. And it got out of control and...
showing the violent imagery and all that in combination yep. with the drugs and everything else. Yeah. That was actually very well handled. I think that 28 Days Later gave birth to the new generation of zombie films.
Without question.
And Robert Rodriguez actually said that as well. He's like, you know, because he wanted to do Planet Terror way back. And he basically said, you know, I got to get on this because one day zombie movies are going to make a comeback. And within a year of him saying that, 28 Days Later came out. And that was it.
Yep. And what's great about, because for me, about 28 Days Later, is that it's probably going to, it is probably the most realistic zombie movie we're probably ever going to see. Because the way it's shot and the way that it's acted and directed, it felt real. Like, you, this could actually happen. I mean, and the fact that the infected, well, they're not kind of traditional zombies, because like you said, these guys are infected with a virus that turns them into homicidal maniacs.
Right.
But that is, again, more plausible than, say, you know, them dying and then coming back from the dead, which, even though that sounds cool and all, but it's not as plausible as... Because we live in a world where viruses exist, and viruses can do really nasty shit to people, and...
And they're doing lots of genetic experiments you and I have no idea about.
Yeah, and like, who knows, there could be a virus that governments are making at the moment could possibly do this to human beings, make them insane and want to kill people. Spread fast, too. Like, in this one, in zombie movies, you can get bitten by a zombie, and it can take, like, a couple hours to turn into a zombie, but in 28 Days Later...
It's pretty instant, isn't it?
It happens within seconds.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. All you had to do is interact with the bodily fluid in any way.
Yes. One of the most horrific scenes I think I'll ever for a movie, because so emotional yet so horrific, is when Brendan Gleeson's character takes that blood to his eye.
Oh!
And
he has to tell his daughter to go.
Oh, I hate that.
You're thinking, oh my God, now she's losing her dad and he's losing. It's like, fuck, what an emotional roller coaster that movie is.
It's a great movie.
Was a really good one.
Oh.
Yeah, so those are my two.
Nice. I completely just love this movie. It's like Nick just said, it's very emotional, as well as having a lot of good horror. And it is it does have some nice gore effects as well.
It does.
It's pretty cool.
I love that guy locked up in the garden.
It stars Cillian Murphy, who is just the most prettiest man. Well, if you've seen him on Breakfast in Pluto, you'll understand exactly what I mean when I call him pretty.
All take
up. But anyway. And I have to say, I really love Danny Boyle as the director.
Sunshine.
He's come up with some amazing movies, and 28 Days Later as well.
Sunshine was good.
Mm.
Yeah, we...
Anyway, I guess it's Nick's turn, so
yay!
Hit us with your best shot or something.
Well, I'm going to have to go. See, I hate to be cliched, you know, at the same time when it comes to zombie movies, but I'm going to have to go with a very popular one when I was a kid, and I'm going to have to go with a movie called Children Shouldn't Play with Dead Things.
That is an awesome title for a movie.
Have you ever seen it?
No.
No, I have not. Sounds interesting.
It's
a hell of a title, at the very least.
Oh, I'll tell you that. And it was a very cheap, low-budget movie, but it was such a fantastic one. And it was about the kids who, just high school kids who travel out to this deserted island. And
why do you have to go to a deserted island?
Because they're retarded.
Why do you go to a deserted island? Seriously.
Yeah, especially when they're doing what they were doing. But they go out there and there's this old mass graveyard. And I think it was back from the war. And I don't know if it was World War II or something like that. But anyway, they had this mass graveyard. And what they did was they focused on one person's grave in particular. And they had this book that had spells in it. It looked like something that they had drawn and like on the set, like 5 minutes before the shot was taking place. But and what they did was they read passages from this book, and it started bringing everyone to life from the grave. And these kids end up, they're getting chased by the zombies, and they're stuck on the island. Of course, they can't get off, and they end up getting chewed alive. It's just an absolutely fantastic, well-done flick for such a low budget, and for the time that it came out, it was just an absolute classic. And it's one that scared the piss out of me when I was a kid. It's cool. The makeup effects were so well done, but it's not a very popular movie, and I think even Kevin Smith talked about it in one of his smodcasts once, but it definitely had a huge effect on me. And I think it was, in fact, and the reason I really mention this is because I think it was the first zombie movie I ever saw as a kid, before Dawn of the Dead, before any of them. And that's why it always has a special place in my heart. So, yeah, the kids end up getting ripped to bits, and nice. It's very entertaining. Yeah, so that's definitely my first pick.
Very cool. Sounds pretty awesome.
I highly recommend it to you guys.
I'll definitely have to try to track that down. I love the title.
The storyline sounds a little bit what do you call it? House of the Dead.
I have never seen that.
Bede should know this movie very well. Bede?
Sorry?
I said you should know that film very well.
Children Shouldn't Die With...
No, House of the Dead.
No, House of the Dead.
Sorry. I just got distracted. House of the Dead. What can I say?
Similar storyline. You have these kids go into this island and they're not at a what do you call it?
They're going to a rave on the island,
right?
And when they get there, I can't remember how, because it's been a while since I've seen the movie, but you probably have seen it much.
Yeah, when they get there, everybody that they were supposed to meet is gone. They don't see anybody there.
Yeah. And they sort of go around and try to explore and find out where everyone is, and that's when they discover that everyone has turned into a zombie. And from there, it's bad. Bad not in bad not in the sense that like these characters are going to die, or as in bad as in this movie's a piece of shit.
Yeah,
but it's to me, honestly, like it is a terrible movie. Like it's awful in every single way, but I think I mentioned this on a podcast a while ago that I've kind of found it watchable in that way because of how ridiculous the entire movie is. I mean, there's a character like Clint Howard's in the movie, and he talks to Jurgen Poncho, who plays the captain of the boat that's taking the kids over to the island, and he's like tells him, "Cap." I forgot how the line went, but
doesn't this one have something to do with skin, or am I wrong?
Yeah, the guy's trying to get body parts to.
Isn't there something like that? Body parts. I thought there was something to do with, I don't know.
There was like a head vampire.
The head zombie dude.
The head zombie.
He was like a kind of a magician from the Conquistadora days, and he figured out some way to reanimate blood, and then that blood would actually reanimate tissue and yada, yada, yada. And so he wanted to live forever. Of course his flesh would decay. So he would want to look for other people to try to, replace his body parts with. So is kind of gross.
That's
but...
awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds interesting, but yeah, maybe the execution.
It wasn't played out well. I agree with Beat. It was not good acting or anything like that. Yeah.
Like, there was, like, the action sequences in the movie are done in Matrix style, so you have, like, bullet time and people, cameras going around people in circles and all that kind of shit.
Right.
And then the flipping to a comic scene where it looks like...
Yeah,
like,
and also... Yeah, but actually, that's from the actual game, the House of the Dead game. They insert, like, moments from the game, like, in the movie for no apparent reason.
Even though they're two completely different stories, they all take place on an island, but it's like got nothing to do with, you know, like I think the House of the Dead game is like a detective story, really. I think like the shooter game, if I'm thinking of the right one, anyway.
Yeah, I think it was.
Don't remember the game at all.
Yeah, it's just like an arcade video. You know, you're shooting guys and saving people and trying not to shoot them and shit like that. But Jürgen Prochnow is in it, so it has to be awesome.
Well, he's like the only decent, like he's the only decent thing in the movie. Like it's watchable in the bad sort of way, but it, like I said, it's terrible, but kind of watchable if you kind of get in the right mind. The right mindset for it.
Yeah,
like it is terrible, but yeah, it's no Troll too.
Like the mindset where you don't want to have to think about anything; you just want to kind of.
Yeah. Like if you want to
turn a vegetable and watch something.
Yeah. I wouldn't say it's like up there with something like Troll 2 or No Retreat, No Surrender, but I don't
know. Our two favorite movies.
I would, yeah, well, those are kind of awesome, but House of the Dead is watchable in its badness because you can't believe of all this shit that's happening. And so that's what makes the movie watchable. And like like I said, Clint Howard's like the soothsayer in the movie. He's like, I got a bat at bit and shit like that.
Cool. Okay, so we'll continue. Because I don't think that was actually a pick, but anyway. I'll go next. Surprise, surprise. I was thinking about a little movie called Brain Dead, also known as Dead Alive, by none other than Peter Jackson.
I know that.
You have to watch this movie. This movie is absolutely insane. Insane doesn't even begin to describe this movie. I'm not sure. I think there's a few different versions of it, but in the release that I saw, which I think was the complete unrated version.
Is that with the guy with the flip in the middle finger on the cover?
No.
No,
it's got a chick. I think it's a chick, and she's opening her mouth, and there's like a dead creature inside. That's a really bad description. Anyway, I'll set it up. The movie starts off. We're on an island, of course, and they capture this rat monkey thing, and the rat monkey, whatever the hell it is. I think it bites one of the guys. And basically I think that somebody amputates where he got bitten. I'm trying to remember this correctly. But I think we see something happens and the rat monkey gets shipped to a zoo in New Zealand.
The rat monkey. I love that.
You have to see it. It's a rat monkey. Fast forward to New Zealand again, and we meet the main character Lionel, and Lionel has this insane domineering mother, and it's kind of weird because it starts off with one thing and happens to something else, but he falls in love with this, I think she's a shopkeeper, and the two go on a date to the zoo, and Lionel's mother decides to follow them because she's not impressed. Meanwhile, at the zoo, she gets bitten by the rat monkey. And slowly but surely, Mother turns into an evil zombie.
A rat monkey zombie.
Yeah, she turns into a zombie. And no matter what happens, she starts biting other people and other people start turning into zombies. Meanwhile, Lionel's trying to hide what's going on. it's all just ridiculous. Anyway, you know, the shit hits the fan pretty much. A lot of crazy stuff happens and it gets gory and brutal and hilarious. I mean, I think in the movie they had a funeral for his dead zombie mother, but she's not quite dead. And there was a scene, I think she's in the grave and these guys are pissing on her grave.
Yeah, and he,
I think he says, "That's my mother you're pissing on," or something. And out of nowhere, this priest comes out and he, like, martial arts. He brings out his martial arts and kicks these guys to pieces. And he says the most famous line in the movie, "I kick ass for the Lord."
Oh, yeah, my baby. God.
This movie has, you know, kung fu or whatever, priest. It's got. And then, you know, by the end, there's zombies everywhere and Lionel gets a lawnmower to try and kill them.
Jesus. That sounds like a riot.
I need to see this movie.
I can't believe, like, this is like a must-see of just horror in general or for anybody that likes Peter Jackson, because before Lord of the Rings, the man was a master of, like, gore and just...
I just gotta see what a rat monkey looks like.
I'll try to find a photo of the rat monkey.
I'm intrigued by the rat monkey.
I'm gonna start up a band to call it Rat Monkey. Or better yet, Rat Monkey Zombie.
Yeah, this movie is just awesome, and I don't think there's any more I can say about the movie, but it's probably one of the most awesomely gory, hilarious movies you'll ever see. It's just, it's awesome. You won't look at zombies the same way again. And I forgot to add, there is a zombie baby involved.
Oh, yeah.
And it's quite crazy.
Dead Alive, that's the name of it?
I think North America, it's called Dead Alive. In, I think, Australia and New Zealand, it's called Brain Dead.
Oh, okay.
The question is, which is the better title?
Brain Dead.
I don't know. That Jackson, man, I'm telling you, before Lord of the Rings, I think all his movies before Lord of the Rings are better than now. Like, The Frighteners is, like, one of my favorite ghost movies ever.
It is pretty awesome.
That sounds familiar. I haven't seen it.
It's one where Michael J. Fox, he can communicate with ghosts. He uses them in a scam business.
Oh, wait a minute. And then he's... Okay, yeah, I did see it, actually.
Yeah.
He has, like, a big fight with the one guy who's really bad that gets pulled away at the end.
Jake Busey.
Yeah.
Gary Busey's son? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I need to rewatch that movie.
Yeah. I got me a score 12. Beat that.
Okay, I'll send you guys a picture of the rat monkey about to bite the mum.
Oh, my God.
There's the reaction.
He's a creature.
Okay, this movie's going to the top of my list.
Because
I know what a spider monkey looks like.
Yeah. if anybody, like, B, do you want to take over and mention another movie?
Yeah, sure.
Because there's just seriously no more I can say about this movie. You just watch it, seriously.
Yeah. Okay. One of my all-time favorite zombie movies, not only is it my favorite zombie movie of all time, but it happens to be my fourth favorite horror movie of all time. And that movie is the original 1978 version of Dawn of the Dead.
I like how you said Dawn of the Dead.
Dawn.
Because it's epic. You got to say Dawn of the Dead.
When there's no more room in hell,
the dead will walk the earth.
That is such a classic of classics.
Okay, before we continue, I've seen this movie so many times, yet I just never remember. You know, out of the main group, what was the name of the blonde guy?
The name of the blonde guy?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. The guy looks like Brad Bird.
Well, his name isn't Oh Shit, so.
Is it? Well, he's, I got the.
Spoiler alert, he turns into a zombie in.
Is that Roger?
He's in the bed.
Oh, god damn it.
It might Roger. Be Roger.
Yeah, Roger, it's Roger.
That's it.
Yeah, he was my favorite character in the movie, and when he turns into a zombie, my heart was broken.
When that blade comes down off his face, that is, like, one of the most, like, awe-inspiring yet horrifying moments ever.
Yeah, it's the saddest, scariest moment of all time.
It is, because you're sitting there hoping that maybe he can fight it, maybe it won't take him, but then you know it's inevitable, and when it finally does, and that's the brilliance that Romero put in that film, you become so, you know, you feel so sorry for the characters, and you love them all, and you don't want to see anything happen to them, and then that happens, and you're like, oh my god, you know, and then his best buddy has to kill him, and it's just...
Okay, I just checked Wikipedia, and his name was Roger.
Yeah, it was Roger. You're right.
Yep.
That's
the one where he was the cop.
Yes.
He was like SWAT members or something.
Yeah, they were like SWAT.
And he I think he's a bit, I don't know, he's a bit more out there than the rest, and he gets bitten.
Yeah, he got reckless.
He got bitten when they were trying to move the trucks.
Yeah, that's it.
He got stupid and he got reckless and he paid for it.
Mm. This movie, I think, is just one of the most fantastic movies. I think it's one of the best horror movies,
it's my number four of all time.
It has some of the best, like, makeup effects and gore effects, which would be thanks to Tom Savini, who's probably the master at doing that, and he's also in the movie as one of the idiotic bikers.
Sex Machine!
That would be a vampire movie where he plays Sex Machine.
That's all. He'll always be Sex Machine to me. It doesn't matter. I've never seen.
But
he gets a really grisly demise.
Yeah, he does.
Thrown off that edge.
I remember the first time I watched this movie. I think I had blind bought Night of the Living Dead, and I watched that, and I loved that, and I thought, now I've got to see Dawn of the Dead. And the first time I watched it, this movie pretty much destroyed me. Just everything about it was just, it was so good, but it was so sad, and just, you know, everything that happens, it just kills you. There's just seems to be no way out of the horrible situation. And I just thought it was so smart the way that, and, you know, what hearing Romero talk about it, I don't think he was quite aware of it himself at the time, was what the film had to say about consumerism and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, how it takes place mostly in the mall. And I just cannot say enough amazing things about this movie.
I think not only that, but also what I liked about the movie was the way they were trying to show, like, when you know, like, look at these shows nowadays that they have, The Colony, these TV series show, these reality shows where, you know, you have people who have are trying to recover and recoup from a catastrophic, you know, scenario where, you know, all your power is out and there's no food, no running water, no creature comforts, as you will. And what happens in this movie is you get a view of how people just kind of naturally strive to create that sense of normalcy, which is basically what they were doing, you know, with that mall, trying to create like a normal environment by sealing themselves off and having food and creating these creature comforts for themselves. Anybody get that?
Yeah. You can continue.
Sorry.
I just got to make a point when you finish.
Yeah. Oh, I was just going to say, like, it's, you know, it's every man for himself. That's all it becomes in the end. You know, and if you stay as a group, you might have a better chance. But in my opinion, you probably got a better chance alone. Yeah.
And one of my favorite things about the movie is the gore. Like, the gore in this movie is really awesome. Gross.
It's
like the zombie bite. Like, the first time we see the zombie bite, you know, with in that the
apartment.
The apartment scene,
oh,
like,
yeah,
that first zombie bite, like, it wasn't, like, a small bite. It was, like, a huge
It was a big
chunk.
Yeah.
And it was, like, I was, like, ew, when I first saw that. And,
when I first watched this movie, I was eating dinner. And I don't know what's wrong with me. I wasn't put off my dinner. I wasn't grossed out. Nothing. I ate my dinner and watched. This was, like, when the bikers were coming in, and that stuff gets really gross.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I was fine. However, I think it was a week later, I decided to watch the movie Hannibal, and I was eating this chicken. And as soon as, you know, he cuts into, I think it's Ray Liotta's head and starts eating his brains or feeding him his brains, I was so grossed out, and suddenly my chicken just started smelling off and I was ready to vomit.
That movie took gore to a new level.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of it had to do with not just what was happening, but the way it was presented.
Yeah.
How normal and how relaxed and how usual it was for the character that Anthony Hopkins was playing to just dig into somebody's brain as is.
Oh,
as
my God.
You're filleting a fish.
It's the weirdest things that turned me off, yet all this zombie stuff didn't. Like,
just,
I'm weird.
Go back to Hannibal just for one sec. It's because of, you know, because of that scene, when the movie was released in Australia, it was rated MA. And because of that scene and all the backlash, because all the people went to go see the movie and that scene was so gross, they actually changed it
to an R rating. I remember that very well.
2 weeks after its release.
Because I went to go see it with my friend when it was still MA, and they did a massive mess up with the movie. We watched 20 minutes of it with only the score soundtrack playing. They forgot to turn on the actual speaking. And we just were so pissed off. They're like, oh, we're going to restart it in another cinema. And I said to the guy, you know what? You guys are so absolutely retarded. I'm going to go watch Almost Famous instead. So we ended up going and watching that instead.
Oh, Jesus.
And I didn't watch Hannibal until it was on DVD when I watched it along with this movie.
Very disappointed. Very disappointed.
I got to make a point, though, about Dawn of the Dead. Why is it that Peter, who's playing by Ken Forey, who's the token black man, why is it that he knows how to abort babies? That scene in the movie where the girl in it, I can't remember her name, she says that she's pregnant and he says to her, I know how to abort babies. I can do it for you.
Oh.
That is the one scene in the movie that confuses me to no end.
Well, it's actually not that difficult, really, Marcy. It's kind of
but why is it him in particular? I can abort babies.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Because he's supposed to be the guy who's basically right down to it. Like, do you really want to have a fucking baby in the midst of all this?
No, I'm just going to abort your baby. No worries. Okay.
Well,
no worries.
I wouldn't blame her if she did.
No, not at all. But it's just so odd that the way he says it in the movie. I remember. It was something I didn't notice at first, but then I rewatched it with someone and he's like, what? Can you rewind that? What? And I'm like, oh, that is kind of weird.
I actually do remember it because he's like, do you want to abort it?
I know how to abort babies.
How do you say? Because he's saying it with a bit of a like smirk on his face.
Yeah, it's really bizarre. Like, that's just the one scene in the movie that just doesn't get me. But anyway.
He's a black guy. What do you want to say?
Well, that's it. Is it saying, oh, black people can do this? What?
Yeah.
No.
You know what I mean?
The one thing I was really happy about with the original, with Dawn of the Dead, was that George Romero didn't end it on a bleak note like he did with Night of the Living Dead. Because when I saw Night of the Living Dead the first time and that ending came, it would, like, destroyed me.
Yeah, it's...
And
pretty
with
sad.
This one, it's like he sets it up almost as though, you know, it's going to be another bleak ending. And then at the last minute, and then it turns into somewhat of a...
But I do think that it was changed, because I think it was meant to have a sad ending, but they changed it. I think there's all that stuff's covered on the DVDs of it. Anyway.
But personally, I think it was for the better, because I don't think I would have been able to go through that pain again.
Do you other guys have another zombie movie to bring up?
I get was it John Stern or
I can't remember if one of you has a movie that we can talk about.
Oh yeah, sorry, Bede went, so yeah, it is John Stern.
Okay.
Oh.
Do you have another zombie movie that you want to bring up or?
Well, we can talk about the next one from George Romero. The Day of the Dead?
The Day of the Dead. Nice. Oh my god, The Day of the Dead.
That's the one where they had one of those zombies in the
held up
almost like in 28 Days.
Yeah,
pet zombie in there.
Except a lot cuter and not cuter, but like a sweeter, innocent zombie.
Different character completely. Yeah.
Yep. Come on, bud. You can't have your treason.
This might be. This is probably like really stupid trivia. But Sherman Howard, who played Bub, he actually went on to play Lex Luthor in Superboy in, I think it was from season 2 onwards. You can Superboy? See how much of a nerd I actually am that I know that.
I know why I think that's true. Super nerd. I don't even know what Superboy is.
I've never heard of Superboy.
Superboy was a TV series in the early 90s. They used to show it on Channel 7, I think, over here. So I don't know if you'd remember that beat. It was shown after school, I think.
I remember that.
I may have seen it, but I can't remember.
It's like Smallville, except he actually wears the costume. No, he's in college, but he actually wears the costume.
Oh, okay.
Whereas in Smallville, he doesn't have any kind of costume. He doesn't fly or anything. So there you go.
And yet that shows
that he hasn't learned how to sew. He hasn't learned how to sew yet.
Yeah, pretty much. but anyway, we've gone kind of off topic because I'm a super dork. Day of the Dead, that's the third in the trilogy. Even though there are other movies in, of the day, I think the original trilogy are the best.
I agree.
Yeah, Land of the Dead was after.
Yeah, Land of the Dead is okay, but it's not as good.
I
love Land of the Dead. I mean, compared to Diary of the Dead and Survival of the Dead, it is actually the best one of the three. And I don't care what anyone says. I love that movie. I saw it in the cinema. It's awesome. I don't care what anyone says.
I tried. I don't know, B. It's just, as soon as they said zombies are getting smarter, I was like, okay, fuck that.
Day of the Dead, they were getting zombies.
That leads off of Day of the Dead. Exactly.
Well, that's exactly it. But it doesn't make any sense. The biology. It doesn't make if these things aren't feeding, and if they're not, I don't know. I'm trying to think of it from a standpoint where, okay, they're not feeding. They have very little brain function. Their brain isn't receiving. The nutrition and the things that it needs in order to develop and grow. It just doesn't make any sense that they're only going to get worse. They're only going to get stupider. They're only going to, lose mobility. They're only going to, over time if they're not feeding. So yeah, it just didn't make any sense.
Well, sorry, you can say the same. You can say the same thing about Bud. I mean, Bud was getting smarter.
Yeah, but he was also getting nutrition. He was getting fed. He was getting,
Don't know if these zombies were being fed enough.
Wasn't that doctor chopping up, chunks of the dead soldiers and feeding them?
Yeah, he was feeding them.
Yeah,
that's how he was training them. But, in a way, he wasn't really learning anything new. He was training them, basically, to remember things he already knew.
Yeah.
He learned how to shoot the gun, which he already knew how to do because he was a soldier.
Oh, yeah, and then them crossing the river, I thought that was even freaking funnier. Like, come on.
I haven't seen Land of the Dead yet, though.
Haven't seen Land of the Dead? Oh, okay.
There have been zombies, other films with zombies that have gone through. Right? There was a bloody... I haven't seen it, but wasn't there a zombie movie where it had a zombie fought a shark?
I mentioned that before, but now I forgot what it was.
I think it was Zombie 2. I'm not sure.
Let me just scroll down this list of the best actual zombies. Here's a picture of it. Shark Fighting Zombie, Zombie 2.
I was in a Microsoft commercial recently. A guy's talking about online. He's talking about doing online media center through Windows 7, and that's the friggin'. He shows a clip of the zombie chewing on a shark. I was like, that can't be a real movie, and then I looked it up. Like, holy fuck, it is a real movie.
Yeah, I really need to see this Zombie 2. Zombie 2?
I need to see Zombie 1.
I think what's the story is that back in like the 70s and 80s and early 90s, Italian filmmakers would make movies and then they would market them as sequels to already known movies. So I think in Italy, Dawn of the Dead was known as Zombie, and then I can never pronounce his name. Lucio Fulci made a movie which was originally called Zombie, but they marketed it as Zombie 2, a sequel to Dawn of the Dead, despite the fact they're not related.
No.
And this is where things like Troll 2 would come about. Despite the fact they had nothing to do with Troll 1, they still marketed it as Troll 2. So there you go, a little history lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And thanks to the damn Italians. So, yeah.
Damn Italians.
Yeah, easy.
Yeah, well, I'm Italian, so I'm like insulting myself. But anyway.
That's right. Sorry, yeah, same here, I'm half.
So there you go. But, yeah. So, Nick, did you like Day of the Dead, or did you...
I did like it. There are certain things that didn't work with it. I thought the guy who ran the military unit just seemed a little too crazy and ridiculous.
But you need crazy people.
What's that?
I said you need someone to be crazy.
That's very true, but I just thought he was absolutely ridiculous for what should be a well-disciplined, soldier and someone who's going out, but I don't know. I thought the movie got kind of boring after a while. Yeah. Unlike Dawn of the Dead, that kept you very engaged with the characters, the characters in Day of the Dead become really annoying after a while. Even the doctor and everything.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just didn't care as much about those people as I did.
I get that. The group definitely.
In Dawn. Yeah. So in terms of the emotional depth, not even close. Yeah, but in terms of sheer disgusting gore, Day is fantastic.
Well, it has the best zombie death of all time in that movie with Captain Rhodes. That's like classic.
I haven't seen Day of the Dead for a while. I was going to rewatch some zombie movies, but I've been watching my other horror movies for the month, so I might have to rewatch some of these later.
True.
Nick, do you have another pick for a zombie movie? We'll probably wrap the podcast up very soon. So if you got another pick.
Okay. Well, I'm going to have to go with a very recent one then. And one that I've, a kind of zombie movie that I've been praying for a long time. And I'm going to go with Zombieland.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yay. Oh, yeah.
Well, I guess we can throw in like Shaun of the Dead because they're both like zombie comedy movies.
Well, yeah, let's just say they're very different.
I mean, they're completely different, but they're like zombie comedies. And I would like to also discuss Shaun of the Dead as well.
Shaun of the Dead is fantastic as well. And Shaun of the Dead was definitely the first of the zombie parody that gave birth to it all.
Yeah.
But the thing that I love about, Zombieland is that
Woody Harrelson.
Well, Woody, and that's the thing. Woody, who is... As Tallahassee, he has solidified himself as a legend of horror as of that movie. But the one thing I love in horror movies, and one thing that always lacks, is the big hero. The one who comes up and says, fuck you, and, puts 20 fucking bullets in you, spits on you, and walks away. And that's what I loved about his character. He saw a zombie, and he's like, fuck you, and he...
He's a bullshit kind of guy.
That's the thing, and that's what I love. That's another thing, like Death Proof, when the girls they turn on Kurt and they fucking chase him. I love that shit.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't happen
to hunters.
Exactly, and that's what I love about Woody. But with Zombieland, it was a parody, but at the same time, it was very serious. like it took you through, like Jesse Eisenberg, who was fantastic. You know, he took you through the rules. He took you through
the rules were awesome.
It was almost educational.
It was.
Yeah, it was.
It's just like the survival guide for zombies, but it was so well done.
I love that.
The zombies still scared you. The zombies were still interesting. The characters were great. Emma Stone. Oh,
Emma Stone, oh my god, she is so hot in this movie.
It's ridiculous, her in that hot leather jacket.
You think she's hot in this movie? See her in Easy A.
I don't think I'll be able to get through it.
That was the most hilarious thing I've ever heard.
Even more hilarious than Nick Storing?
Almost. That just kind of came out of nowhere. It's like, okay, I can't do it now.
If AJ was here, he'd tell me to stop it right now.
But you know what else was kind of awesome about this movie? Was Amber Heard zombie.
And that actually surprised me. I remember seeing that in the theater, and I turned to my buddy who was with it, like, that's fucking Amber Heard. And he's like, no, that's fucking Amber Heard. Look at her. And then we got to the credit. Holy shit, it's Amber Heard.
See, if I was in his situation, I would totally let her make me a zombie.
I wouldn't go that far, but we could be
zombie girlfriends.
You know, she played a really good zombie, I'll tell you that, but she's definitely the sexiest zombie of...
she's like my...
Oh, then again, Michelle Rodriguez did turn into a zombie in Resident Evil, so...
There is that, but, you know, I've got, like, this really big girl crush on Amber Heard, so... And
did you see The Informers?
I haven't seen that, but I know she spends a lot of time minus clothing, so...
Naked!
I was going to bring up...
But she's like 85% in bikini in that movie.
Yeah. I need to get on those.
50% of that is our show.
The girl likes to be nude.
Sorry, I was going to bring up, in Zombieland, there's a really cool cameo, and I think everyone probably knows what it is by now. But that was so just too
spoiler
funny.
Alert. Spoiler alert. Yeah. Skip ahead if you don't know. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I don't know. That was too hilarious. Just, it was great.
It was.
Well, it ain't Bob Marley. Probably my favorite line ever. But that movie is just hilariously funny. It got the formula right in how Shaun of the Dead was. Shaun of the Dead was very funny, but at the same time, it was also very scary and emotional, especially towards the end when everybody's dying. You know, Shaun has to kill his mom, which to me was one of the most heartbreaking moments in a horror film ever.
His mom finally turns,
and, you know, he looks at her, and she looks at him, and she's gone, and it's like, fuck. And it's just horrible. But, you know, Zombieland had the same idea, but then in the end, the fucking lone hero, you know, Woody, just comes in to clean house. And it's just fucking entertaining from start to finish. Oh. And, you know, Jesse was great in it. And fuck, was he great in The Social Network. I just have to throw that in quick. But, in terms of a great, fun zombie film, Zombieland takes the cake, along with Shaun of the Dead. Which one is better? I'll always love Shaun the most. Even though they're two very different movies, but as a parody, those two are the greatest ever.
I agree. I absolutely love Shaun. It's one of my favorite comedies
ever.
It's
just one of my favorite movies ever. It's one of my bedtime movies. Yeah. I always put it on, like, when I'm getting into bed, and I'll watch Shaun of the Dead.
Really?
Yep. And it's worth watching with the audio commentary by Edgar Wright, because that guy and Simon Pegg, they're hilarious.
Oh, I know.
They bring up so much stuff, and...
Yeah, those two are great together.
Ah, man, the stuff they say, and then you've also got, like, Nick Frost and Simon Pegg, the pairing is so good. Like, I can't remember Ed, the other character.
Yeah.
Is there... Oh, my God, it's so funny, and the running gags in the movie are so good. I always just bring up, you've got red on you.
You've got red on you.
For no reason, and nobody seems to get the joke. And it's like,
Have you got what player two has left the game? I fucking love every moment. I remember my friend dragging me, well, not really dragging me, he like, I remember it was very limited when it came out in theaters, especially here in Canada. And I was going to, and I didn't really know what to expect. And I walked out of there thinking, okay, I got to go. I got to get spaced. I got to, you know, I got to see all the earlier work of these guys because it's like fucking brilliant, you know, and it's, I don't think they could ever top it. Hot Fuzz was fantastic. But
I love Hot Fuzz as well.
Yes, Hot Fuzz was great too.
Shaun of the Dead is better, but they're both equally like great movies. But they put in so much stuff, and you have to watch them again and again to like notice them. And it was really interesting that you know, the director Edgar Wright mentioned that one of his film inspirations was now I can't remember the movie title. Invasion of the Body Snatchers, and how a lot of the way he filmed the movie, he, you know, paid homage to that movie. And I didn't actually notice it until he mentioned it. And then it was also really obvious.
Especially in the first half of the movie where he's, like, Sean's walking around town and just...
strange stuff's going on behind him and you notice it, but he doesn't notice it. And the same kind of thing does happen in Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
That's true. Everybody seems to be turning. Did you guys ever see The Invasion with Nicole Kidman?
No, I missed that one.
Yeah, it was very much like it. Yeah, and it was a fucking horrible movie, but...
That movie suffered a lot, so don't be too mean to it.
It was what?
Like, that movie was average overall, but it really suffered of post, like, studio interference, like, massively.
That's like, true. I shouldn't be too hard on it. And then again, Daniel Craig was pretty awesome in it. But
Nicole had very different accents throughout that movie.
Yeah, she's all over the place in it. I just didn't buy her.
I think that was like reshoots or something. I think she forgot. Like one scene, she'd have like a southern accent, and all of a sudden, it'd be like a normal American accent.
Yeah, it's actually true. And that's the thing with I think the Wachowski brothers like ended up bringing in that James McTeague. The guy who directed V for Vendetta, I think they wanted some action scenes and whatnot, and so they ended up bringing him in and blah, blah, blah.
But they rewrote 70% of the script.
Shit, Jeff.
Yeah. Anyways, back to Shaun of the Dead. One of my favorite moments in Shaun of the Dead is the scene, like, after when the zombie attack happens, Shaun goes down to the shop.
Gets and, like, a cornet
early in the movie, and like he doesn't notice all the zombie carnage that's happened around him. And he goes in the shop, and he goes and gets his cornet, and he like slips
on the blind.
Got any pipers?
Oh my god,
Nelson!
That and then movie all is the classic.
I fucking almost died when he almost slipped on the floor because you know what it is.
Yeah. And there's hilarious lines. My friend and I, we quote lines from it all the time. And it's like, what was the character's name, that their flatmate? What was his name? David, was it?
David. Oh, Dylan Moran's character, David.
No, the other guy.
Oh,
who became a zombie.
Was it Pete?
Pete.
I thought you meant like the other housemates, but the girlfriend and stuff.
Yeah. Well, there's this funny line. It's like they're downstairs and they're thinking, like, and they just realize that they remember Pete said that he got bitten by some kids on the way home.
Oh, yeah.
And the dad just stands. They're like, Pete. And they're like, downstairs going, Pete. And Sean's like, don't say it out loud. And said, why not? Because he might still be angry.
This is ridiculous. All right. Are they out there, though?
Are there any zombies out there?
There they are. Fucking cry and laugh. Pete's going to be so pissed when he fears I'm driving his car.
Another moment I love is when they discovered the female zombie out the back of the house. Oh, and she falls back onto, like, I think a pole or something, and she slips up. And then they're, like, staring at her in shock, and then Simon... zips up the camera, and it's like, the cinema I saw it in, they were in stitches when they heard the camera go zip, zip.
What? That's the fucking hilarious part, because you're thinking to yourself, and all you hear is he knocks it out of his hand. Oh my god, when they're throwing the shit at them, like the fucking toaster and all that, I couldn't take it anymore at that point. I didn't think it could get any funnier.
Well, when they're picking out records to throw, yes. Batman soundtrack, throw it.
So is some no. No. Batman soundtrack, throw it.
Oh, that movie's Shot awesome.
It's lizards. You stumped you.
Awesome.
Dialogue. Those two deliver. I can't wait for a trailer to pop off. That's Comic Con in movie that they're doing together.
Which what was that you completely like cut out for me?
What?
Yeah, I can't understand a word you're saying. Anyway, we'll probably have to wrap up the podcast.
Okay. There's so many zombie movies.
I know, but we talk a fuckload on this podcast. So I guess we can...
that's what you should just call it. We talk a fuckload.
We talk a fuckload. I guess we can wrap up the podcast by some honorable mentions. I guess Dang ones it. That we don't have to talk a fuckload about. goodness. If I had to go with honorable mentions, I guess I would go with Return of the Living Dead Part 3, which is a really good movie. You don't really need to see the other two movies to watch this one because you pretty much understand what's going on straight away. And it's probably got one of the other most, like, good-looking zombies that you'll find. And the more stranger she gets, the hotter she seems to get. I don't know what it is about that character. The main zombie in it is Julie, and she's played by Melinda Clark, who nowadays she seems to play, like, a lot of... Like, I don't know, what's the right word? Like, she plays gold diggers whenever she's in a show.
Yeah, but most people probably know her as the Marissa's mum from the OC.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. In this movie, she's naked a lot, and you see her boobs a lot. But she turns into a zombie straight away, and she looks normal to start with, but then she starts craving human flesh, and she, like... pierces herself with metal, and by the end, she just looks really cool.
She gives nipple rings a whole new meaning.
Yeah, pretty much.
Hellraiser would be proud, kind of thing. Pinhead.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's Flash. One of them. And another one, which is like a guilty pleasure movie, is Night of the Comet, which is from 1984. It's kind of like... It kind of reminds me a bit of like Dawn of the Dead, in the way that they go to a mall. But it's kind of like they're like valley girls, and it's kind of weird. Like a comet hits the earth and turns people into zombies, basically. And it's kind of weird, but I don't know. I enjoy it for a cheesy 80s movie.
Cool.
So they're my few little picks. So we'll go around. If you've got any other movies you want to mention, go for it.
Okay. I'll
you
go.
You can go, Bede, or I'll go.
I'll go, since I'm the host.
I'll let Bede. Bede, you can continue to host the rest of the show.
The original, my honorable mentions include the original Night of the Living Dead, which is, a masterpiece of horror.
Yeah.
Yep.
And also my guilty pleasure series, the Resident Evil series. I don't care what anyone says. I don't care what anyone says. I enjoy the hell out of these movies for what they are. So screw you guys. I'm going home.
I think we can safely say Mila. Hello.
Mila. Exactly. And also another, of course, the original Return of the Living Dead, which was pretty kick-ass, but I also enjoyed the sequel, Return of the Living Dead Part 2.
That's pretty hated, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very hated, but that was like the first zombie film I ever saw, so I'm very nostalgic of it, and I actually enjoy it for what it is. So that gets props from me. And also Night of the Creeps.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. You sent me that as well.
Yeah, which
that was a great movie.
Yeah, that's a zombie movie, but it also mixes, like, aliens and slasher as well, so it's
a really fun movie, that one.
And it has, like, the best Tom Atkins performance of all time. And also, I'm just looking on the list. Also, I want to mention, this isn't really a movie, it's a miniseries, is Dead Set, which is a
which you
British,
sent me and I haven't watched
which
it.
Which I said, which you should watch.
It's yeah, awesome. I will.
It's a British zombie miniseries. It, pretty much the plot is, what would happen if the Big Brother house was the last refuge of mankind against zombies? And it's actually really awesome, and it's actually pretty, it's bleak, but it's pretty damn cool, so I recommend everyone check that out. I'm not sure if it's available in the US or Canada yet, but it's definitely, you can buy it on DVD, like overseas. But for all I know, it could probably be on Netflix.
So you might have to look.
It is a dark comedy.
Sounds funny.
It does have some really funny moments, but it's also quite, it's actually very well made considering the plot. I mean, people fighting zombies in the Big Brother house, but it's really cool. And, it's still pretty awesome. And let's see. And also my last pick is the Australian zombie movie Undead, which was made by the same guys who did Daybreakers.
And I'm probably a terrible Australian for not having watched it.
You're a terrible, terrible Australian, Marcy.
I have not seen Undead. Don't ask me why I haven't seen it. I just haven't, so.
Yes.
Maybe, maybe I'll watch it in time.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. I'm starting to think that they were the guys who did The Book of Eli, but that was that other.
That
other
was
brothers.
The.
That's the Hughes brothers.
Yeah, they
yes,
did From
right.
Hell.
You did, From Hell, yeah, exactly. Sorry, I got them mixed up.
Well, though, have you guys seen? I know this is like cutting you off, but have you seen the Tom Savini remake of Night of the Living Dead from
yes,
I think it was 1990?
No,
I have.
Did you actually like it? Because I thought it was pretty good.
I liked it too. Like, it's not as good as the original, but I did like the fact that they made the Barbara character a much stronger heroine in this movie.
Yeah, definitely.
Because she was like all she did was like scream and wasn't much of a character in the last half, but Romero and Tom Savini, they made her into a sort of a Sigourney Weaver type character in the last half of the movie, which I really appreciated. So, it's enjoyable. I like the movie. Like, it's
and the movie features Tony Todd before he was Candyman.
Exactly. He was awesome too.
But yeah, sorry. Just had to ask, but anyway. Does anyone else have any other zombie movies they want to mention quickly before we go?
Yeah, I'll mention a few quick. I'm going to go into more recent ones and ones I thought were really well done. First off, I'm going to go with the Dawn of the Dead remake.
Yes!
Which is pretty awesome.
It doesn't get enough love, and I got to be honest that Zack Snyder is a very capable director if he has the right script, right material. I'm full support of him for Superman, by the way. But what were you saying?
I said, as am I.
As am I, good stuff. Good script power behind it, too. But I think Zack really took the Dawn of the Dead concept, the original story, and made it his own. There was no shot for shot remake bullshit. It was completely new characters, a lot of new people.
The only thing that was really
situations.
Kind of the same was the setting in the mall.
The setting
and
in the mall
lines of dialogue
was it
as well, and a couple lines of dialogue and a couple of cameos from like Tom Savini
and the original cast and all that.
Yeah.
Other than that, though, I think he made his own. And come on, Zombie Baby.
Yes.
You gotta baby. Talk about Zombie Baby. That was probably one of the most creepy, frightening moments I've ever seen like in a film where I was like, okay, I am I'm done now. I need to watch something happy. But I thought, and it was like the very, I don't know, I just think Zack had a beautiful visual idea of the film, and I thought the story was great. The characters were, you know, a lot of fun to watch. Ving Rhames is the man. It's a great flick. Then the final one I'm going to mention is, building off of what John was saying earlier, is the sequel to 28 Days Later, 28 Weeks Later, which stars a little-known love interest of Marcy's, Jeremy Renner. I think 28 Weeks Later was absolutely fantastic.
It was a really solid sequel.
Like, it was. I think it was surprising. Rivals the first.
I was surprised, at how good it was, because I kind of expected to be disappointed, but no way.
It's true, and I call that movie 28 Days Later on crack. It's literally Robert Carlyle who's
took
in it
to the
it,
next
who,
level.
Yeah, it did.
I love Robert Carlyle. Is a
very famous, British actor, and he made that movie so fucking awesome.
Oh yeah. Just to say about Robert Carlyle, spoilers, when he turns into infected was another very tragic scene as well.
His whole story was just very tragic, like from the start.
Yeah.
Yeah. That opening really was like the best opening for a horror movie ever.
It's pretty awesome.
At the house?
Yeah. Well,
I remember when I saw it in the theater, they had turned up the volume so fucking loud.
Yeah.
When the initial attack happens, holy shit, it was so loud and it was so sudden. Fucking heart was pounding. And then, and he barely escapes with his life. And then the kids come and it's just an emotional roller coaster, and then Renner was so good, as the American sergeant, and
he can be my anything any day. Sorry,
I'm sure.
I kind of need to rewatch this for my thing, but I haven't seen this movie for a while.
Oh, like 28 weeks?
Yeah, I've got it on DVD. I've watched it when I got it on DVD, but I need to kind of watch it again because I'm still doing my spotlight on Jeremy Renner for the website. And,
you should watch it again.
I need to watch it again so I can just talk about how fabulous he is in the movie.
That's true, and he really is, and it's definitely one of my favorite overall zombie films in recent memory, for sure.
Good choice. This one completely slipped my mind for some reason, but whatever. You brought it up, so yay.
Excellent.
I've got one.
Which
that,
one?
That basically it's, I've been talking about how what I like is, a lot of these realistic type zombie films where there's a plausibility to the, potential for it to actually happen in real life. But one of the ones that kind of sticks to the original concept of a zombie as somebody who dies and then comes from the dead, which I don't think got as much. I mean, it was definitely popular for the time, but it seemed to me more like it fizzled out over time, and that's Pet Sematary.
Which I recently had the poster on my site for awesome movie poster.
Right. Yep. yep.
It's been a while since I've seen that one, but I remember really, really liking that movie.
It was really creepy. It really left me with a creepy feeling, and it did that without having any plausibility to it whatsoever.
It did. I love that little kid, and that little kid has started so many movies. When he was the little kid from Mercury Rising. He was, the kid from Kindergarten Cop. The girls have boys have a penis, girls have a vagina. I love that kid. He's done so much, and he was so creepy.
And he was really good in that movie. And he was only two and a half at the time. So how he became evil in that movie was just astonishing.
Yeah,
when you put that little blade in his hand and all that.
And that cat. I never look at those types of cats, the same again.
I like that dead buddy, that ghost that follows everybody around. I can't remember who's the victim of the guy who got hit by a truck.
Right.
And it's kind of like the guy from American Werewolf in London. It's like the funny ghost character who's following the hero around, giving tips and advice and all sorts of shit. But that is a fun movie, though.
Yeah, good pick. Is that probably about everything for?
Yeah, pretty much.
I want to mention two things. before we finish up, and they're both zombie related, so we're not going to be off topic. There's one movie I did see a while ago, but I saw a Mystery Science Theater 3000 version of the movie, and the movie itself was crap, but you know the MST3K version of it was hilarious. But it has like the best title ever for a zombie movie, and the title is "The Incredibly Strange Creatures Who Stopped Living and Became Mixed Up Zombies."
That is pretty epic.
Wow! And,
like the movie itself, like I said, it's really terribly boring. But if you watch it with just the MST3K version of it, it is absolutely hilarious. And that's what I'd recommend people to like look out for as well, as that episode. And also, again, with zombies, we've also got also have a TV series coming up at the end of the month that also deals with zombies too, that's coming out, called The Walking Dead.
Doesn't it premiere Halloween?
Cool. It premieres on Halloween night, so that's a good
night to
premiere the show.
And seriously looking forward to it.
Me too. Especially amazing. Me more so, because I'm a huge Walking Dead fan. I haven't read the last few issues, but I have read most of the comic books so far. And believe me, guys, if they stick to like what happens in the books, I think the series could be the best show of its type since Lost.
It looks like they spared no expense with it. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like what I mean by Lost, I mean, like, you know, you got a lot of shows coming out now, you know, like you got that been out lately, like, you know, shows like Flash Forward, Heroes, and recently The Event. Those shows look like they're trying to, well, with the exception of Heroes, in a way, they're trying to rip off the, you know, the Lost formula by having, you know, like a mystery at the hands of it. But with this one, what I mean about the Lost comparison for this one is that this is an ensemble cast with The Walking Dead. And this is going to be a series where pretty much any character at any moment will die. And trust me, even characters, having read the comics, characters you don't think are going to die right away, they do.
Oh, okay.
And the comics go into really dark and really interesting areas. I mean, let's just say it's not the zombies that the characters have to fear in the world that they're living in. It's dark.
So it's kind of like how in The Mist, it wasn't so much the monsters outside they had to worry about. It was everybody inside.
Yeah.
That was kind of, you know, like the real danger, so to speak.
Yeah, that preacher bitch.
Yeah, like the group themselves are really tight together, but it's really like whenever they come across other people, that's when... Like, some are, like, nice and friendly, but others are really much more dangerous than they appear to be. And, I mean, seeing everything so far, I haven't seen the latest trailer because there's an action-packed trailer, as it's called, but I saw the four-minute footage, and it's very close to the first two issues of the comics. And I think it's going to be amazing. I think it's going to be one of my favorite shows. At the moment, there's only going to be 6 episodes. I'm not sure if there's going to be more episodes later on, but at the moment, they've done 6 episodes, and I think if the show's successful, they'll keep doing more. And I think they might have option for a second season, but I'm not sure yet. But
I guess it depends on ratings.
That'll depend on us, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just like Eastbound and Down. We were lucky to get a second season.
But I think if they promote the show enough, I mean, this is, like I said, this is being promoted... This is going to premiere on AMC, and, you know, they've produced Emmy-winning shows like Mad Men and Breaking Bad. And if they do the same kind of, like, campaign and promotion as they do for those shows, I think The Walking Dead could be the next big thing. I mean, if True Blood can be very popular, I mean...
Why can't zombies? The
Walking Dead.
So I guess that kind of wraps up our zombie podcast. I do want to kind of mention one little thing. I'm hoping that this will actually all get made, but there is a movie in pre-production called Warm Bodies, and the producer of the movie is somebody I know very well, so hoping that this movie does go ahead. I think it's still in the script writing stages. The book that it's based on, which is also called Warm Bodies, I think that should be published... between now and early next year. So keep an eye on it, because it's one of the most amazing books I've read. and it's certainly like a completely different view on zombies. So, yeah, definitely keep an eye out for that. So I think that wraps up our podcast. I'll thank you three lovely gentlemen for joining me on the show.
Thanks, Percy.
Raids!
Stallone zombie.
Oh, yeah, another shout-out to the fantastic the Simpsons Halloween episode that had the zombie segment. Classic.
Oh, you mean when he goes, "You killed zombie Flanders." He was a zombie?
Yes.
He was a zombie?
So I thought I'd give that a shout-out because that is awesome. And as well as Michael Jackson's Thriller music video.
Yeah.
Of course, we'll keep time. But
anyway, thank you guys again for joining me on the show. Until next time, you guys have been zombies and I've been awesome. So catch you later.
See you, everyone.
See you guys.
Take care.
Please pay attention. This message is for your own safety. Our nation is in crisis. A state of emergency has been declared. Should you find your safety compromised,
it is vital that you do not panic.
Oh, for God's sake, who's got armor?
Try to avoid detection.
2 seconds.
Use weapons to defend yourself.
Oh no, that's the second up we ever bought!
Purple rain.
No.
Sun and tide.
Definitely not.
Oh, that's strange. Sorry.
And remember,
the attackers can be stopped by removing the head or destroying the brain.
Right.
No, that's rubbish. There's zombies out there.
Don't say that.
No. Because
it's ridiculous.
I'm coming!
Here I come!
Are you alright? Thank God for that.